Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guests on this edition are Executive Director for the Health Security for New Mexicans Campaign, Mary Feldblum, based in Corrales, New Mexico, and Chair of the Local Organizing Committee for Health Security for New Mexicans Campaign in Las Cruces, Margaret Mendoza, and Executive Committee Board Member for Health Security for New Mexicans Campaign, Maury Castro. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Well, let's start with Mary. Tell me about how long you've been with Health Security for New Mexico. I understand it had different names, and then we'll talk about what it is.
I've been with the campaign since its start in the early 90s, when many of your listeners may remember that Clinton had a plan that was supposed to pass Congress, and everyone was talking about different types of health care reform. And in New Mexico, a bill was introduced to try and set up our own health plan. It's that bill that is the basis, or the great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother of the bill that we'll be talking about today. The campaign has actually grown into the largest coalition in the history of our state. There are over 150 organizations from around the state that support the health security plan. In addition, 33 cities and counties have actually passed resolutions in support of this plan. That includes the Doña Ana County Commission and Las Cruces City Council.
And what is this plan called?
It's called the Health Security Plan, but in order for it to become a reality, it has to be passed by the legislature. So its legislative format is called the Health Security Act.
And so is this part of the Affordable Care Act?
It's actually allowed under the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act has, as an intent, is to cover everybody and to control costs. And it's the first time in the United States that there has been national legislation enacted that will open the door to do this. But what very few people know about is that there is a provision called the Waiver for State Innovation. And in that provision, it allows for states to develop and to actually get a waiver to develop plans like the Health Security Plan, which is different from the exchanges.
In what way?
Through the exchange, the uninsured purchase health insurance, and it's a private health insurance paradigm. The Health Security Plan, in fact, says, let's set up our own health care plan for most New Mexicans, and then you have no more networks, freedom of choice of doctor and hospital, including across state lines, because we know people in Las Cruces like to go into Texas, and you may need specialty care at a Mayo Clinic or whatever. So this really is freedom of choice of doctor and hospital with great services, and not bronze, gold, different types of plans, but actually one comprehensive plan, what the state employees have as services that would be provided to everyone, and that simplifies things for doctors and hospitals enormously.
And currently, what is it? It's a multi-payer, multi-plan system?
No, it's a primary payer. Most people would be covered under this plan. It's set up as a co-op. So it's a regionally or geographically sensitive board, 10 representing consumers, 5 representing health facility provider interests, and this board is responsible for the plan. It's no cabinet official, no elected official can sit on it, and it operates like a co-op, so our premiums would go into the pot of this plan.
I've had several meetings throughout the day. What is it you start telling people about it?
Well, I think it depends on the group, but one, what is the New Mexico Health Security Act? And secondly, how does it fit into the Affordable Care Act? So the concept is we've got a small population in New Mexico. It's very difficult to support a very complicated multi-payer insurance system with different co-pays, different deductibles, different services offered. And so what we're saying is let's simplify this. Let's self-insure most of the people in our state. And that way we don't have networks anymore. You can have complete freedom of choice of doctor and hospital, which is absolutely critical. And all of this is allowed for under the Waiver for State Innovation provision of the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act opens the door for states to experiment with different approaches other than the exchanges. Start off with the exchange. So under the Health Security Act, we have the beginnings of an exchange in New Mexico. And once this act is passed, the exchange would then morph into the health security plan.
And so we recently had a deadline with Obamacare, mm-hmm. which is the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. And many did sign up, but there's still several people who haven't here in New Mexico. What have you encountered with that?
Well, according to the data that has been presented in the media, we're talking about people who've signed up for the exchange, and then there are those who've signed up for the expanded Medicaid program. The Medicaid expansion, there's over 100,000 New Mexicans that have been enrolled in the Medicaid program. And in terms of the exchange, actually the numbers are quite low, and especially compared to if you look at other states, we're among the 12 lowest states for enrollment. The last figures to be published, and we still don't know the final numbers, about 500 in the what's called the shop exchange, the exchange for small employers, and that is state run. And then the federally run individual exchange, there are about 18,000 people that signed up. There may be more given the deadline. We don't know. And ultimately, we have to find out how many people actually are paying premiums, just didn't apply, but pay premiums.
But there's no deadline, though, to sign up now, is there? For the Health Security for New Mexico's campaign, there's no deadline?
Well, the Health Security Act has to be passed by the legislature because it would replace this system in a very slow, methodical way. So while the exchange is so important and there are people who will be getting insurance who never had it before, and hopefully at an affordable price. And then there are those who are getting health care through Medicaid. The Health Security Act, which will be introduced in 2015 in our 60-day session, if it's passed in that session, then actually in the first year will be what we call a numbers crunching year. This sounds really great to have a fabulous benefit package, freedom to choose your doctor, and we're sharing the risk, which is what is the purpose of insurance. Young, old, healthy, not so healthy are all in it together. And is this affordable? And so during that year of financing, there will be consultants that will figure out through the Legislative Finance Committee that would be in charge of the study, how much will it cost to cover about 1.7 million New Mexicans, assuming covered similar to the state employees. And by coverage, I mean services, not copays and deductibles. And then what are the premiums going to look like? In addition, under the Health Security Act, there are two insurance policies, auto insurance and workers' comp, that have large health components to them, and those premiums will be reduced. So we need to know how much. People look at me and say, why would my auto insurance premium go down? Because there's a large health component in it, and if I'm in a car accident and I break my leg and the health security plan pays for that, I don't need to file a claim with my auto insurance company. So why pay double? And so it can be reduced. Same thing with workers' comp. If the injury occurs and it's paid for by the health security plan, then the employer doesn't pay the health portion of workers' comp.
So these are the positive sides.
Absolutely.
Of it. What are the negatives?
Hard to judge. I mean, the insurance companies hate this. What this plan does is shift their role. If you think about Medicare, the original traditional Medicare, the insurance industry fought it like crazy when it was introduced in Congress, and they thought they'd lose a market. Well, they didn't. And what they did was gain the supplemental market so they could offer supplemental policies to seniors and the disabled that are eligible for Medicare.
Is that what it's known as Plan B?
No. Part B is really the doctors. Is the outpatient doctors. Part A is the hospitals. And then in Part A and Part B, you have a deductible that you have to pay if you go to the hospital. And if you have a supplement, your supplement might cover almost all or all of it, all that deductible. So it supplements what Medicare won't pay. It won't cover what Medicare won't cover. In the health security plan, it's the private insurance industry can offer supplemental coverage, additional services that are not covered by the health security plan. So that's a market that they would have.
So that would be good then for private insurance.
We think so, but it's a different paradigm, and so they're not happy with it. But then we're finding that so many people are unhappy with private insurance calling the tunes, whether they are buying through the exchange or whether they're in a Medicaid managed care program or if they have private insurance. There are serious concerns and problems. Premiums are going up. Front page of the Albuquerque Journal, the university employees are faced with enormous increases in premiums plus reduced services and other reductions, increased co-pays. That's what's happening to people right now.
Now, throughout the state, you have organizations that have joined in?
150 organizations that include providers, includes pharmacists and nurses, and it includes agricultural groups, it includes LULAC and NAACP, and it's just a whole wide range of environmental groups, just a whole wide range of groups.
Well, let's talk to Margaret Mendoza about the local level here in Las Cruces. What organizations are involved and how you are involved with it?
We have a lot of local supporters. Among them are the Colonias Development Council, the Community Action Agency of Southern New Mexico, Hispanic Farmers and Ranchers, and the Southwest Environmental Center. Also, the Office of Catholic Social Ministry has also been a good supporter of ours.
So do the individuals come to these meetings as well, or is it their heads of the organizations?
The heads of organizations are very supportive, and they have guaranteed their organization's support for our endeavors as we work along.
And how long have you been working with the campaign?
I'm a relative newcomer. I've only been working with the organization for about a year. However, I've been in the Las Cruces community for quite a while, and my husband has been a teacher among the Las Cruces student population, and I realized how health impacts education.
And tell me about how health does impact education.
Well, first of all, when kids are ill and they don't have proper treatment, they spread their illness around. And also, they miss too many days of school, and healthy children in the classroom aren't good listeners and can't be good learners because they're so distracted. So health is like one of the number one supports for education. A healthy person is a good learner. And healthy parents are also more supportive of education because they have the energy and they have the time.
So this is what being covered by insurance also affords them, to be able to remain healthy.
That's exactly right. And we have so many people in Las Cruces and in the state in particular who haven't had access to health care for a very long time. And that's why the ACA and the exchanges are so important now. But our proposal brings this away from a national level and brings it right down to our communities. So New Mexico is a really large geographic state with a comparatively small population. We are spread out, and many areas, and even in the southern area here, don't have really good access to health care. So when our health care dollars are not going to big insurance companies in Illinois or Texas, they're staying here in our communities, and we're reinvesting that in our health care here in the community. And that's what made me so excited about this program and makes me want to come here today and talk it up.
Good. As what else would you say about it that would make people interested in wanting to find out more about it?
Well, I think one of the things that people might be afraid of for this program is that it seems to be one insurer, and that's the Health Security Program. However, it may be one entity taking in the premiums in that, but it gives everyone access to the entire medical community in the state and doesn't restrict the doctor that you go to, and also provides a really good set of benefits. I mean, if the set of benefits is good enough for state workers, it's good enough for us all.
That's very important for people to understand. And now let's talk to Maury Castro, who is a member of the Executive Committee Board of the Health Security for New Mexicans campaign here in Las Cruces. Maury, tell me how long you've been involved with the campaign and why you got involved and what is important about this.
Well, I got involved about 10 years ago. As a matter of fact, I was doing some work for the Southwest Voter Registration Project, and at the time we were making a presentation to the Chamber of Commerce, and at the same time we had the Health Security Campaign people there, which was Frank Clark at the time. And after the meeting was over, she approached me and told me that she would like to talk to me about joining their campaign. And after we met, she informed me about the program, about the Health Security Plan, and I was flabbergasted. I just said, it's too good to be true. How could this thing, you know, it'd be a great thing to pursue and a great thing to support. And since I'm an activist by nature, I joined the campaign.
And what is it you tell people about getting health insurance and the campaign, what to do?
Okay, of course, now it's a different paradigm because of the ACA. But at the time, there was really not much to offer other than the status quo, which had been going on forever and it kept getting worse. The system was totally broken. I could see people like my neighbors. I could see people like in my own family. For instance, I had a nephew that made it big. He was a student here and he got his degree here in engineering. He went on to be very successful in his field. He moved over to California and working for a big corporation until he started getting sick and his health started deteriorating. During the time that, I think it was the 90s, when depression started to hit, he got laid off, and he was left off with no insurance. He had money saved up. He had patents, actually, that he tried to capitalize on and went into, you know, manufacturing them. And he invested all his savings, and in the meantime, he was paying over $800 a month in prescriptions alone.
Because he never had health insurance?
He lost it when he lost his job, and he couldn't buy it. He had the pre-existing condition that was a no-no for the private insurance. So bottom line is his business tanked out, and he lost all his savings. He lost his home because he was mortgaged again for the investment in his enterprise. Bottom line, he, believe it, winded up in the street. We didn't know much about it because he didn't want to admit defeat or, you know, failure. And when we heard about it, he had been dead for 2 weeks in a one-room apartment, living out of boxes. Now, that guy didn't have insurance. This is one of the stories that motivated me. Bottom line is that our plan is more inclusive, and the Affordable Health Care Act is wonderful. It's a first step and something that was long, long overdue. But again, it doesn't cover everybody, and our plan does. The other weakness, if you will, is the fact that they cannot control costs. They will not control costs through the insurance exchanges. Administrative costs under their plan, they run all the way to 29%. Ours will be running less than 5%. One of our executive committee members, Dr. Bill Pratt, put it very well in a little pamphlet he developed, and he called it Patients Before Profit. That tells you a lot right there. So we will cover more people. It'll be a less cost to the beneficiaries of the program and also to the taxpayers.
Mary, how do you see this then for the local person or the person who's not aware of the importance of having insurance?
Well, I think people are aware, people are concerned about going bankrupt if something happens to them or their loved one. And the problem has been that insurance has been unaffordable. Even for those who have insurance, the premiums have been going up. It's been a disastrous system, which is why the Affordable Care Act was passed. And now it provides us with an opportunity to make a decision in New Mexico. Do we want to continue to rely on the private insurance system, or do we want to do something that insurance is about? Insurance is supposed to be about young, old, healthy, not so healthy. We're all in it together. And in a state with a small population, it definitely makes sense for most New Mexicans to be covered under one health plan that provides comprehensive coverage, affordable coverage, and freedom of choice of doctor and hospital, not only within New Mexico, but across state lines. And that is absolutely, that's the choice. Do we continue to rely on private insurance, or do we set up something that has been looked at by thousands of New Mexicans over the years and set up the Health Security Plan, which will be introduced in 2017 and is allowed under the Affordable Care Act, under its waiver for state innovation provision, which allows a state like New Mexico to do something that may be more appropriate for its circumstances.
So is the Security for New Mexicans campaign, is this a government-run organization?
Not at all. It's a grassroots, homegrown, the 150-plus organizations are not government organizations, for the Pharmacists Association, the Nurses Association, all the groups that Margaret just mentioned mm-hmm. down south. This is a real grassroots effort, and we have gone around the state. There are local groups who educate people. And if anybody's really interested, they can go to our website, www.nmhealthsecurity.org. And they can see all that we've got lots of materials and information and learn more about our history.
And that would be good for the small businessman to have this for their employees or for an individual as well?
Everybody. It would be good for small businesses. Tell me that if they can't afford insurance, then they're at a competitive disadvantage. They end up training the cashier or the salesperson who then moves on to a business that does provide health insurance. So there are training grounds, and that's a competitive disadvantage. And the construction company that provides insurance is at a disadvantage to the one that doesn't when they start bids. And so this way it becomes an equal playing field. Employers will not have to spend time researching which company, which plan. It will be automatic. And in addition, if they're large enough to pay workers' comp, they will see a reduction in workers' comp. If they have commercial automobile insurance, because a lot of small businesses do, they'll see that reduced. So there will be enormous advantages, financial advantages, to small businesses, to the health security approach.
Well, it's something very interesting, and that people should look into this, again, with the website, nmhealthsecurity.org. And I really appreciate you coming out and talking to us about it. And is there anything else you'd like to leave with?
For this to become a reality, we need public support. And that means that here in the Las Cruces area, if people want to learn more about health security, they can contact us and we will put them in touch with Margaret Mendoza and others of the local organizing committee who can speak to groups or even set up information groups, because the more informed people are about this important opportunity that the Affordable Care Act gives New Mexico, the better it is. And we need that support. The insurance industry is not happy with this proposal, even though they still have a role. And in order to pass legislation like this, we need public support.
So this would be legislation next year.
In 2015.
And so we have from now until then mm-hmm. to be able to be more informed.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Executive Director for the Health Security for New Mexicans campaign, Mary Feldblum, and Margaret Mendoza, the Las Cruces office, Executive Committee Board Member Maury Castro.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you so much, Emily, for this opportunity.
You're welcome. And for KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.